Hey, what's up, folks? This is Tony Brewer. You're listening to Cogitations. Cogitations is the podcast where we think about things, we contemplate them, we turn them over in our minds, and then we discuss them. Daniel chapter 7, verse 28, Daniel writes, "Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart." And we're not going to keep the matter in our heart. We're going to talk about it. And today we're going to talk about an encouraging observation. I think so many times we can get caught up in all the negative things that we see on social media, that we see on, you know, TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. We talk to people in the world maybe, and we get rejected whenever we try to invite folks to church or have Bible studies and stuff like that. And we can fall into the trap of being discouraged and thinking that we're losing. And just because there's more people in the world than there are in the church, well, that don't mean we're losing. We are more than conquerors. And I think about a story from Scripture that we're going to look at, where a prophet coming off a very high moment experienced a very low moment, and God had to remind him he's not alone. You see, Satan wants to convince you you're alone. It's called triangulation, and Satan is the master of it. Now, before we get into the meat of our podcast, thank you so much for those of you that have tuned in. Please be the algorithm for us. Comment and give a thumbs up or a heart or a hug emoji, and share the material. Share the content wherever you can. Now, there is a QR code on the screen. So you can support the stream. You can go to www.buymeacoffee.com/Christianity now, and you can donate $5, as little as $5, as much as you want. And that'll be a one-time donation, and you get access to everything we do that's behind the scenes. And you can also, if you want to do a monthly contribution, you can go to Patreon, www.patreon.com/Christianity now, and you can support us there, and you'll get access to the same material. And either one puts you gives you access to the email list, where whenever we put an update on either of those two platforms, you get pinged in your email. Now, I'm going to get this off the screen. I'm going to go to where I can see your chats. Good to see everybody. And remember, for those of you that watch this in the We Talk Truth group, if you comment, it does not tell me who you are. It just says Facebook user. So if you hear me say other people's names and you're wondering why I don't say yours, that's why. I'm going to assume that if I'm reading a comment that says Facebook user, then you're in the We Talk Truth group and you do not want to be, you don't want to be named publicly. And that's okay. Nothing wrong with that at all. Now, let's get into this. Y'all, I love this account in 1 Kings. I'm going to try to read this from my Bible. I'm working on making some changes in my studio that will help me with lighting and help me with sound quality and stuff like that. Hello, brother. There's the Facebook user right there in the We Talk Truth group. I'm so glad you're here, by the way. And I it's kind of funny. Don't take this the wrong way. I don't care who you are. I'm just glad you're here. Take that however you want to take it, I suppose. But please don't interpret it in a negative fashion. All right. So I'm just, instead of reading all of this, I'm going to read verse 18 of 1 Kings chapter 19, but I'll set the stage. You remember Elijah had that run-in with the 400 prophets of Baal. They did the contest where the prophets of Baal built their altar and no fire was added, and they danced and hooted and hollered and cut themselves, bled on the altar, and Elisha actually ridiculed them. Maybe your God's traveling. Maybe he's on the toilet. All this, that, and the other. It's really funny. It's a very interesting historical account. I'm not saying that that's the way we should act towards people who are false prophets, but I do think that it's okay to ridicule the ridiculous. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. There's that boiler going on. I hope you don't hear it. I've gotten some feedback that says you can't hear it, but it just makes me cringe every time I listen to it. Anyway, now he's killed these 400 prophets of Baal because God showed himself for Elisha and confirmed to the children of Israel this is the God you need to serve. I mean, Elisha went from throwing down the gauntlet saying, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then serve him. But if Baal be God, then serve him. And the people answered him not a word. And so what he did, he said, let's have this contest. And of course, Lord God reigns supreme. He burned the meat on the altar. He burned the stone wood. He burned the stones. And so much water was poured on that altar that the fire even consumed all of that water. Folks, there was no doubt about it. God performed a miracle that day. But then, after the 400 prophets of Baal were killed, Ahab and Jezebel said, I'm going to kill Elijah. Elijah went and hid in a cave, and he had this kind of a pity party. He said, I'm the only one who's faithful in Israel, and this woman seeks to end my life. And listen to what God says, all right? Verse 18, I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. All right? In other words, and every mouth that hath not paid homage. Hello, Sue Ross. Good to see you. I'm so glad you're here. Now, Elijah thought he was alone. He had been triangulated. He felt like he was separate. He was the only one out there doing what was right. He was the only one out there caring because he was all alone. Folks, it is very tempting to fall into the discouragement of Elijah, into the trap of discouragement that Elijah fell into. If you are there now, or if you have been there, please do not beat yourself up too badly. If you're there now, acknowledge you are, because that's the only way you're going to get help. Now, if you'll notice, God didn't strike him down. God didn't tell him how terrible he was. God didn't say, well, you just don't have any faith. You're a bad person and a bad prophet and all this, that, and the other. God actually just gave him what he needed. He said, here's some encouragement. Here's some water. Here's some food. Take you a little bit of time. Here's some encouragement. And get yourself ready. Quit you like a man. And we got some work to do. Your work is not over. But the main issue you're dealing with is that you think you're alone. I've kept me back 7,000 have not bowed knee to Baal nor kissed him, and all the lips that have not kissed him. In other words, you're not alone. There are way more people on your side than you think. And that's the way it is with us, brethren. You know, it's a very difficult thing to be evangelistic. And if we go out there during our everyday lives and just expose the world to our discipleship, we're going to get pushback. We're going to get negative feedback. And the average individual is not going to stand up and weather that with us. And why would they? I mean, they're not bought in. They're living their lives the best way they can. And maybe they don't have enough bandwidth to really fight the good fight of faith. But you do. And whether you realize it or not, you have people who will stand with you. Call on your brother. Call on my brother when you need a hand or a friend. Because we all need somebody to lean on. I think it's cliche and silly as that sounds. Call on your brother. I think about Galatians chapter 6 a lot. And verse 1 is pounded into the dirt, I think. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. But then the very next verse is, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. It is a burden. The word of the Lord, knowledge of God, is a burden, because the more knowledge you have, the more responsibility you have to change. And once you make that change, once you repent of your sins, turn toward God, and bring forth fruit meet for repentance, Acts chapter 26, verse 20, and then you start living that life, you're raised again to walk in newness of life, Romans chapter 6, you're going to have the world work against you. And it's tempting to fall into the trap of thinking you're alone. Go to your brethren. Make sure you're plugged in to the local church. Don't just come on a Sunday or a Sunday morning or something like that. Be there every time the doors open, whether you feel like it or not, whether you think it's an imposition or not, and be there and be plugged in and bear one another's burdens. Allow the brethren to bear your burdens by sharing your burdens with them, and whenever they need to share their burdens with you, you be receptive to that. Because that is the main weapon of the devil, is to make us feel like we are alone. I love studying about Elijah. I was talking about this with a sister just the other day, Sue M. Ross. And Terry Crook says, amen. I don't know what I was saying whenever he said amen, but I'll take it. Thank you, Terry. And thank you, everybody, for the comments and the feedback. And there's so many of you watching. Please share the live stream. Invite your friends to the live stream. If you're watching on the YouTube channel, be sure and hit the notification bell and share that. And why don't you subscribe to the YouTube channel if you've not already? I've heard that live streaming is much better there. I stream on 5 different platforms at once, or 2 different platforms, YouTube and Facebook. But on Facebook, I stream on my personal Facebook page, on Cogitation's Facebook page, in We Talk Truth, and on Christianity Now. So anywhere you are, make sure you're following that. So we need to plug into the local congregation. We need to bear one another's burdens. When we are standing together, we cannot be defeated. We have to surrender. That is the beautiful thing. Think about this. I love Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 1. Paul punches it home. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of life in Christ. I think that's close enough of a quote. Folks, once we're baptized into Christ, we've overcome. We have overcome the world. The world cannot touch it. We actually have to surrender. Think about this. This is premature. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. And I don't usually do a very organized show, but in this particular instance, I meant to cover this last, but I'm going to cover it right now because I think the point needs to be made right here. We cannot be defeated as long as we are in Christ. We have to surrender. Please don't ever surrender. Please don't ever surrender. Listen to this. I'm going to start reading at verse 31, all right, of Romans chapter 8. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Well, the answer to that rhetorical question is no one. And it's not just that it's no one, it's nothing, no thing either. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded, I'm convinced, I'm totally convinced, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Folks, there's no reason to be discouraged. There's no reason to give up. If you don't give up, you cannot fail. It's going to look bleak. It's going to be a little dark in this world at some times. But if you never give up, you'll never fail. We are more than conquerors. And it's going to feel like Satan has won. If you're doing what you're supposed to do for Jesus, you will suffer persecution, and it is going to feel like Satan has won. You think about Jesus on the cross whenever he referenced Psalm 22. And in your moment of persecution, you go to Psalm 22. I didn't plan on this. Let me go in here, and I had to revamp some of my computer. Let me get in here. I'm going to pull up my trusty, rusty e-sword, and I'm going to read Psalm 22 because I think it's important. Now, and the reason I'm going to read it on my e-sword is because of the lighting. I need to get my lighting fixed because I can't see, and I think it would be better if I used the computer. All right, Psalm 22, starting in verse 1. It's just 31 verses. Why have you forsaken me is the title of this song. Now listen, I don't believe God for a minute forsook Jesus. I think that's why Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me from the cross? So the people that were standing by would be put into remembrance about this psalm. And the communication from Jesus on the cross there is, this looks really, really bad. It looks like Satan won, but he did not. See if you can get that from this psalm. The psalmist, it looks like my persecutors have won. See if by the end of the psalm, you think the persecutors have won. If you think God really forsook the psalmist, if you read Psalm 22 and God has not and did not forsake the psalmist, then Jesus was not forsaken. All right? Think about it. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. And they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, and they shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord, that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing that he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them, and cast lots for my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, my strength. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling, from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation I will praise thee. Yet the fear of the Lord Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship, and they that go down into the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto the people that shall be born, that he hath done this. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. Folks, I want to ask you something. The psalmist, in the lowest point of his life, started that psalm, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then by the end of the psalm, he says, he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. That's verse 24 of Psalm 22. Do you see how this psalm would have brought to remembrance the fact that God has not forsaken me, even though it looks like I'm forsaken? Even though it looks like I have lost, I've actually won. Because God hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Christians, we are an afflicted people. But God has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. He is with us. He will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. When Jesus from the cross cried unto God, God heard. When we from the pit of despair and persecution, in the lowest point of our life, feel forsaken and feel like we've been despised and abhorred, whenever we cry out, oh my God, hear me when I call, rescue me, help me, give me strength, God will hear and he will answer that prayer. I'm telling you the truth. There is no reason to give up. You know, I think about another passage from the book of James. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves to God. And resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James chapter 4, verse 7. There's no reason to fear Satan. I know he walks about in the earth as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But if you submit to God, Satan will flee from you. And it's kind of humorous. It is a kind of humorous in a way to think about that, because I think about the flea on the back of an elephant's back, the little F-L-E-A, the little bug. So the story goes that the flea and the elephant come across a rickety rope bridge across a deep, deep, deep gorge. And the elephant tentatively walks out, tests it, and then builds up enough courage and walks across the bridge. The flea and the elephant get on the other side. The flea was riding on the back of the elephant. And the elephant breathes a sigh of relief and says, I'm glad we got past that. And the flea says, I know, because you know what? We sure are heavy. Well, the flea wouldn't have made a difference at all. It was the elephant that would have broken the bridge. So if you notice how Satan flees from you when you're subjecting yourself and submitting yourselves to Almighty God, don't be like the flea and be like, yeah, we sure are powerful. No, it's God. Satan is fleeing from God. He's not fleeing from me and you. He has no reason to fear me and you. But it's when God is with us. And I'll go back to the question my brother, the Apostle Paul, asked. If God is for us, who can be against us? Nobody or no thing, including Satan. I have to be plugged in. When I go on Wednesday evening, I have to leave early because I have to take cancer medication with food at the same time every evening. But at least I have the fellowship before and during by singing and praying with the family. And that's from Sue Ross. Sue, that's a beautiful sentiment. And that's good. We all need to be that way. We all need to. And I couldn't imagine. Well, I guess I can imagine that there are Wednesday nights where you probably just don't feel like going, but you go anyway because you know how you're going to feel after it's over. Y'all, I need to take that bit of advice when it comes to working out. You know, I've kind of hit a plateau. I've lost 15 or 20 pounds, and now I need to start incorporating exercise into my daily routine. And whether I feel like it or not, I need to go do it because I know how I'm going to feel after I do it. That's the way it is with being plugged into the Lord. Please do not ever give up because you're more than conquerors. You've already won. God is with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And here we are, 26 minutes in, and I haven't even gotten to the reason why this is on my mind. I've just been sharing with you my cogitations. So let's get into that. And so this is awesome. There's this video that I've talked about several times on Facebook, and I'm just going to go. Let me see if I can go find it there. Christianity Now Facebook page. I'm going to have to scroll down a fair amount. Come on, computer, do your trick. There we go. Bear with me just a second as I scroll down a fair amount. Now, if I don't watch it, I will fall into the trap of being like Elijah and being discouraged. Because once you break outside of the Church of Christ bubble, you find vitriol, you find persecution and stuff like that. And you just got to understand it's going to come. And you've got to be have a lot of mental fortitude not to let it bother you too badly. And what helps me is, okay, so this video has been seen, it may have gotten up to 30,000 views, okay? But it's gotten 426 comments, and man, you can go to the comment section and you can find some of the worst, most ignorant comments ever there was. But the majority of them are, yes, sir, great job calling out a false teacher. Thank you for sharing the real truth. My grandson and I read the Bible every night. Praise to God Almighty. Gotta love him, and talking about the video, gotta love him for presenting the bold-faced, plain, and simple truth. Now, what are folk going to do with it? Amen. Know the word in its fullness. So many take pieces and snippets and don't go deep into the word to find the fullness of truth. Tell it, brother. Good job, my fellow Christian. God's word is crystal clear. All right. And then, of course, there's some negative comments and stuff like that, but we're not focusing on them for this podcast. Amen. Thank you, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. God Almighty. Amen and amen. Outstanding. Good job. They love to twist things. Amen and amen and amen. Solid teaching on this subject, brother. Solid. Well done. Preach truth. All right. Awesome. It's just so. This video is a video of I stole it, and I uploaded it on my stuff, and it's a video from this guy called Blake on Fire, and he's making a rebuttal video to a man with a couple of PhDs and masters that says the reason the cities of the plains, Sodom and Gomorrah being two of them, were destroyed is because of pride and inhospitality. And this dude just dismantles that with scripture, okay? And the reason that people take this position that the Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed for pride and inhospitality is because they want to dilute God's stance on homosexual activity, okay? I've put out a short video. In fact, I would love for y'all to go to Christianity Now Streams, and I put a 3-minute video out on how I would talk to someone today who believes that homosexuality is okay and that Jesus or God in the New Testament never spoke out against homosexual behavior. And it's only 3 minutes. Watch it in its entirety, please, and share it, and do it from YouTube, because that would really help us boost our audience on YouTube. Anyway, and thank you so much, Collins, and to the Facebook user and We Talk Truth who said amen. Thank you there. So my point is, just because you see negative comments, and just because Facebook's algorithm promotes negative comments, that doesn't mean the whole world is set against Christianity. There is a large part of the world set against Christianity, but there is a small subset that is for us, that is our allies, and will be receptive to the truth and would even convert to Christianity if we built a little rapport and studied the Bible with them. But then there's God, right? God does not balance the scale and make things fair. God tips the balance of the scales in favor of his people. God is not the equalizer. God is the final argument, the ultimate weapon that wins not just the battle, but the war. If God is for us, who can be against us? There is no reason to give up. Faith is the victory. We are more than conquerors. There is nothing in heaven, in earth, in this world or the world to come that can separate us from the love of Christ. We have to surrender. Don't be discouraged and give up. There are 7,000 who have not bowed knee to the Baal, all the lips that have not kissed him. You're not alone. Don't give up. And that's it. That's all I want. If you don't take anything else away, take that away. Don't get discouraged. Don't give up. No matter how bad it feels right now, we've got this. Christianity will come out on top. We've read the end of the book. We know how all this works out. Folks, that's all I've got. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I noticed that it looks like somebody sent some stars. Thank you so much for sending those stars. Let me see if I can. Yeah, so it looks like cogitation about God's. Hold on. Oh, okay. So somebody was watching my video about God's second law of pardon, and they sent stars. Oh, that's cool. Listen, if you send stars, that's amazing. We love it. Hopefully, we'll be able to build our Facebook audience to where we can start getting super chats in YouTube. And but again, remember, anytime you want to support us monetarily, go to a piece of content that's not live, and I usually have two links for the Patreon and the Buy Me a Coffee. And if you want to just send a monetary donation without doing all that, then send it. You can private message me on Christianity Now or Cogitations. You can private message me for my PayPal, and I'll send you my PayPal, and you can do it like that. Folks, thank you so much. Diana Merritt Harden, appreciate you, and Sue Ross, and Collins, and Terry, and the Facebook user in the We Talk Truth group. God bless you. Remember, this has been Tony Brew with Cogitations. Don't give up. There's no reason to. You've already won. That's all I've got here. Please subscribe to on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and TuneIn Radio. And we will catch you on the flip side.